Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Coming up on show 972, Volvo XC40 Recharge selling well, so much so Volvo tripling their EV outputs. Plus on the show today, Ford Mustang Mach-E has really good residuals, Hyundai unleashing their electric race car, and partnerships with both British Petroleum and the French energy company EDF. Doing big partnerships on e-mobility. Everybody wants some action in this space. Not surprising. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. For Sunday, 24th of January, my name is Martin Lee. I've been through every single EV story today, just so you don't have to. Welcome to new patrons this week, and three new patrons to say thank you so much to a new executive producer on the list, Javier Carmelo Diaz. Perez. Javier Carmelo Diaz Perez. I think I got that right. Thank you so much for signing up to be an executive producer on Sundays. I do read out all the execs producer's name just because I love it. And it's such a good feeling reading out the names of the people who make this show happen. So, Javier, I've added your name to the executive producer list. Also, new producer, Chris Walkins. You get your mention as well, Chris. And a new producer, Paul Denny. Thank you for your support. Headline story, Volvo Cars boosting production of their full electric cars at their plant in Ghent in Belgium. The company's adding output of a second battery-powered car at the factory in addition to the fully electric XC40 Recharge, says Automotive News Europe. Oh, the second EV that's coming from Volvo. Let's talk more about that. The new EV will use the same architecture as the XC40 Recharge, which is a fabulous car. If you watch those YouTube videos, Bjorn Newland's ones, brilliant. Volvo will provide more details on this model. It's probably the C40. We think. Anyway, March the 2nd is the date for your diary, so we'll know whether it's called whatever. The C40 we'll go with for now. Volvo plans to launch a new full electric car every single year for the next 4 years, when it expects that half of its global sales will be pure battery electric models. 50%. They're going all in. Just by the middle of the decade, Volvo estimates that output of fully electric cars at Ghent will be tripling over the next 2 years, at which time full electric cars will account for 60% of what's coming out of that plant. Amazing stuff. Now, I mentioned the Ford Mustang Mach-E yesterday. My love-in with that car continues. Not that I've driven it yet, but looking forward to. The Ford Mustang Mach-E is looking like it's got better residual values, or it will have, than Ford's Mustang Pony Car, the vehicle that it got its name from. It's a revelation that Cars Direct has discovered through Ford's first quarter leasing guide. And of course, leasing is guided by residuals, because you need to know what's the car going to be worth when the lease comes to an end to work out the numbers. According to the website, the electric crossover will have a higher residual value than its gas-powered counterparts, according to Motor One. The Mustang Mach-E will have a 56% residual value, according to this document, for the Select Standard range. That's the rear-wheel drive one. And the Extended range, all-wheel drive, GT spec, will have a whopping 58% residual value. And if you look at the combustion cars that it's compared with, not even close. Now, I don't know, is this after 3 years for the lease? I need to find out exactly the period they're talking about on the residuals. But look, let's face it. Depending on the market that you're in around the world, I would say more than 58% here in the UK, where there's still a lack of supply and there is still huge demand. Told the story far too many times to bore you with if you're a regular listener, but I sold my first EV at a profit. It's which is, I know, I bought it before EVs were really talked about as much, plus the dealer underpriced it. But still, I'm going with it as a stat. Like, who makes money on cars when, you know, unless you're a dealer and it's your job, or it's a classic car, but simply bought it when EVs weren't fashionable, they exploded, sold the car, and made a couple of hundred quid, which is brilliant. So, look, EV values, are used values are strong here, but if you check out my sponsor, MyEV.com. Now, MyEV.com is, if you're in the US, it's such a good resource to check. If you're buying or selling, make sure that you have more knowledge than the person that you're going into that deal with, so that you're working with all the facts and all the comps and comparisons. And I must admit, now the US market, maybe you've got more supply, maybe the used market is different, but I do notice that EVs are cheaper on the used market than certainly over here. You know, I could get, you can get yourself a really nice spec Tesla for $20,000+, and we certainly can't do that here. And there's also the exchange rate, so it's not even comparable to say $20,000+. You can probably get like a mid £30,000 Model 3 that is an early one, and probably has got a few miles, plenty under its belt. So, you know, if you're going to do that, then just spend $5,000 more, get a new one. Anyway, let's move on. Actually, you know what? Residuals is a point that we should talk about with our other sponsor, Richard Simons. I need to get him on the podcast at rsev.co.uk. They sell mostly Teslas, but all EVs. And you know, if anyone's going to know about what the used market is like during COVID, during second or is it third lockdown? I mean, Richard's still selling a ton of cars. People haven't stopped wanting a car. Whenever I speak to him, he's like, yeah, we're doing it differently because of COVID and it's distanced and we ship cars sometimes all over the place. But people still want. People still want cars. And I think the prices, obviously, I go to rsev.co.uk, Plenty and Dream and Window Shop. And he's always got a big old selection on there. Sometimes selling cars himself, sometimes for other people. But, you know, the prices are strong here in the used car market. I would have no worries about buying an EV and selling it in a couple of years' time and not losing a ton of money. But hey, this is not a financial show, so let's move on. Next Friday, in the run-up to the Daytona 24 weekend, Hyundai's Veloster, the ETCR racing car, is going to take to the track for demo laps. It's going to be the first time that anyone outside of Hyundai will get to experience to the sheer crazy acceleration of their 670 horsepower all-electric hatchback. Says Jalopnik, the Veloster ETCR will be running in the Pure ETCR Championship later this year. Though this display indicates, to Jalopnik, that Hyundai and IMSA are potentially working on an electric class of racers for a series in the US, maybe a support series or something, maybe standalone, who knows? Hyundai will compete in the inaugural Pure ETCR series against other electric touring cars. Alfa Romeo, Cupra, MG, all involved. I must look at what the latest is with that series because, you know, things are fluid, what with the pandemic and that. Okay, moving on. Really interesting how the big names of the last few decades, and more in some cases, know that the future is electric, and that's where they are heading. Follow the money. These companies didn't get to be so big without being very good at being in business. BP is one of them. British Petroleum. BP Pulse, which is the new name for the old Chargemaster, because they bought that. BP Pulse has signed a new contract with a company called Jump Tech, and now they're a technology supplier. And it's all about BP understanding better the customer journey of putting in charges. It simplifies the process of putting in charges, according to current news. The platform that they are working with now allows customers to supply the information about their property, where they want the home charging station to go, the desired installation location, imagery as well. You can upload it. I want my charger here on the wall. It gets sent to BP Pulse, to all their advisors. It enables that whole process as more and more people go EV. And you can imagine that you need to find ways to make sure this process is still slick when you scale up the numbers. They also want to have more public charge points from 7,000 today to 16,000 by the end of the decade, and 1,400 ultra-fast chargers. So really interesting that you can see BP thinking about, this is where we're going, this is where EVs are going. More people are going to have them. So rather than that kind of bespoke process that I must admit, up until now, having a charge point fitted, you know, you are in the minority still, but more and more people are going to want chargers on their walls, and you want to be able to cope with that increasing number. Next, let's talk about Electricité de France, EDF. The renewable energy offerings are on offer to Volkswagen buyers. So, if you buy a VW Group EV in France, under this new partnership agreement, buyers of cars from the VW Group will get told about EDF's green energy plans. You can sign up to them. You can find out more about them. According to the website Smart Energy, the offer also includes support for VW's zero emission strategy themselves. Now, VW are investing $40 billion equivalent, like 33 billion euros in e-mobility. And that's just until 2024. 75 new EVs coming by 2029 from VW Group. Of course, it's a big group. And so fascinating that they're, again, they're looking at, look, when we sell a car, what's that service we offer our customers? Not only do we want to put a wall box on, but do we want to tell them about electricity tariffs? It's a whole, you know, you don't buy a car and get told where the nearest petrol station is. But when you buy an EV, of course, so many, it's new. Many people are buying their first EV, and clearly they want to have their hand held a little bit. Not everyone does, but some people want to know, how do I charge it? Where do I charge it? Can I do it at home? And clearly it's a commercial deal between EDF and Volkswagen, but it's interesting that we see these news reports almost daily now, just giving an insight into the state of the market. And finally, Siemens is launching a new charger, a new fast charger, and it's mega, mega efficient. It's one of the most efficient DC fast chargers on the market. Now, the rated efficiency is almost 96%, but at the peak, it's even more. The new chargers from Siemens are being made in 160 kilowatts up to 300 kilowatts. Lovely. I mean, all of those speeds are amazing. Even the slowest ones they make, brilliant. I mean, my car charged at 22, so let's face it, brilliant. But all the way up to 300. The cool thing is about the dynamic power allocation between the two DC outputs. There's also an optional AC output as well, according to Inside EVs. It can handle voltages from 150 volts to 1,000 volts. Now, that makes the charger suitable for these new 800-volt platforms from Porsche and VW, because the Audi e-tron is coming with an 800-volt system. The new Hyundai and Kia cars are going to be 800 volts. So, maximum current output, 1,000 amps, and just making sure it's future-proof. Such good news. I love hearing stuff like this. EVs are just set for exponential growth. Everywhere I turn and look this week, it's been an amazing week of positive news. And that segues nicely into what an amazing week it's been for your question of the week answers. I was asking you what the moment, if you can remember the moment when you realized you wanted to drive electric. And you have. Thank you. Rajiv Narayan emailed me. For decades, he says, I've been interested in decarbonising cars and have been interested in biofuels and hybrids and EVs. In 2017, Hurricane Harvey disrupted gas supplies. He's in San Antonio. And he finally pulled the trigger. That was the moment. 2017. Bought an EV with a Chevy Bolt. A short time later, he discovered this podcast. But you know, let's not put a dampener on this happy story. Talman says, my moment was when my Prius Prime got to 0% and the engine started. I like it. I like it. Yeah, I know. Sad face. Robert Baxter says, I first knew I wanted to drive an EV in August 2012. Ooh, Robert's taken us back. Old school. Robert Baxter drove a Nissan Leaf. He didn't buy the Nissan Leaf because it was going to be a new car, and he had to handle 400-mile round trips they took quite regularly. Therefore, he looked at the main alternatives, the Volt in the US and the Prius plug-in. The Volt was too small, but he loved the car, settled on a Prius plug-in, had the car for 8.5 years, does 91 miles a gallon. The car got 12 miles on a charge when he purchased it. Now, over 8 years later, it gets about 9 miles on a charge. The car's got 73,000 miles on it, and he does the routine maintenance at the dealership. That's it. That's it. I love stories like that. Like, Robert took a risk back in 2012. And it paid off. Jonathan Price says, within minutes of our first Zoe ZE40 test drive, it was in early 2017, we bought a nearly new ZE40 soon afterwards. Then another, and now we have a ZE50. Oh man, Jonathan, a man after my own heart, loving the Zoes. Hello to Phil. Now, Phil Kep emailed me to say after taking a test drive in a Leaf, he also drove a Micra, which was not inspiring. But then he got his wife's agreement and they went for a Leaf. And it arrived some months later. Don Miller in North Carolina says, back in the 60s, a retired neighbour had an electric Golf mall cart, if you like, and used to take me to Little League practice. I remember how quiet it was. What a blast it was, because we zipped along. I never forgot about those trips. And I now know, that was the EV grin all the way back to the 1960s. Is that the oldest memory we're going to get today? Carl Kramer emailed to say, I knew I wanted to drive an EV since I saw Ed Begley Jr. driving around one in the 1990s, totally geeking out on technology. Justin Pavlik says, I knew I wanted to drive and encourage everyone else to drive EV when I was on a run. I was running down the Forbes Avenue in Pittsburgh in between classes, which just happened to be during rush hour traffic. Running along the road with the car spewing garbage into the air that I was breathing made it difficult to breathe. The final straw, when a diesel-powered bus came by, bombarded me with exhaust right in my face. That was the moment I realised we'd all be better off with electric. Paul Pelowski says, for me, it was the first time I drove a Model S. Early 2019, possibly 2018, he says. I was raised around American muscle cars. The bigger, louder, and stinkier, the better. Then I drove the Model S. It wasn't the strange, lame-looking EVs that I'd seen before. Didn't have ridiculous wheels, and it took off like a rocket. Now, the only decision is which EV is right for Paul in the US. Ian Sear says, I've always been interested in EVs and green issues, probably from when I was at school in the early 1990s. I remember having a lesson on ozone damage, recycling, and the environment that stuck with me. In 2013, I noticed a fancy black Tesla on the base I was working at and thought, this is it. Sadly, I couldn't afford one until last month. Should have bought some Tesla shares at that point, and he could have retired long before now. Hey, Ian, never say never. And there's always time to not necessarily invest in Tesla, but there's so many exciting things happening, you know, around EVs. Don't give recommendations. I always say never buy single stocks. What goes up can go down. And if you've been into Tesla for a long time, you've done so well. But there you go. That is my very conservative financial advice. Small C. I'm very, very boring. It's all in the pension. Let's talk about, which is, I guess, I suppose in a way, I invest in EVs, depending on what they spend that pension on. But good luck if anyone is investing in single stocks. It's a roller coaster. I sleep really well at night. But of course, like I say, if you've been in Tesla for a while, you've made a few bob. It's all right. Right, let's talk about Mark's email. Mark Orico. Mark in Maine. I used to be a pickup truck guy and I got into EVs when Rivian unveiled the R1T. I've since lost interest in trucks and now I want a Model Y. Out of my price range, says Mark. But a lot closer than a Rivian. Anthony Reed emailed to say, when a chap knocked on my door in 2014 and told me if I had solar panels on my roof, I would get unlimited free electricity. That was when I knew I was going to buy an EV. Being Mr. Spreadsheet, I knew I was spending however much per year on petrol in my Toyota Prius. Malcolm Fowler emailed. There's so many amazing. I want to get through as many emails this week as possible because we're not even at 20 minutes yet. So let's crack on. Malcolm says, July 2019. That was the moment I was considering whether to buy an EV when I changed cars. So I visited the EV Experience Centre in Milton Keynes. It's a fine place. I've been there and charged nearby as well. Test drove several makes of EV, assuming the EV Experience Centre opens again after COVID, I'd highly recommend it to prospective EV buyers who want to experience different EVs. Now, in October 2020, Malcolm got rid of his ICE car and bought a Renault Zoe ZE50. All my friends and family regard me as an early adopter, but I guess most of your subscribers would regard me as a late adopter. Malcolm, there is no judgment. We are all having fun in this party. And whether you're listening to this podcast for the first week or 3 years in, or however long I've been doing it, almost 1,000 shows, then, hey, we're all the same. We're all the same here to learn and have fun and just enjoy whatever stage you're at with EVs, just embrace it and loving it. Andrew is next. Andrew Ackerman says, I first realised I could go EV when BMW announced the i3 with a range extender, the only interesting EV available at that time. Before that, I'd bought the first Renault Twizy in the country new in May 2012 as a fun vehicle. Wow, Andrew, that's amazing. He was visiting the Geneva Motor Show in 2011, and he drove one and then pre-ordered it as soon as he got back. He ordered the i3 on launch day, but got it in March 2014, kept it for 5 years, now has a Mini Electric. Man, Andrew, that Mini Electric, I love it. What a little roller skate. Just sticks to the road, doesn't it? It's called different things, Mini SE or Mini Electric in different markets around the world, but it's the one made here in Oxford. Just a great, fun little car. Like, that is a perfect car for a low center of gravity. You can be doing 40 and it feels like you're doing 60. Great car. Brilliant. John Eady is next and emailed to say, back in 2009, when Mini launched the trial Mini E, I've wanted an EV ever since, but only just took the plunge in 2020. He bought the Kona EV, did John? Brilliant. I mean, what a car. It doesn't say what size battery. Two battery sizes on the Kona. The big one, 64 kilowatt hours. I haven't met anyone who's owned one and not absolutely loved it. Same goes for eNiro owners. Same goes for Soul EV owners. Let's talk about Ed's email next. Ed Cortine. A few years ago, we were visiting friends. Remember when we could do that? See friends and family. Those were the days. Who had recently bought a Leaf, and they gave us a test drive, and I was hooked and purchased our own Leaf shortly after. And finally, we should wrap it up. Serverless Billy is an electrical contractor in New York City. We started the job to increase the capacity of incoming electrical service to a house that didn't seem to be necessary, as nothing in sight really needed it. It was further requested that there was a separate 100-amp single-phase feed in the garage, which sparked my curiosity. When the job was almost finished, we saw nothing that warranted that amount of power. The owner was only happy to give us a tour, and his brand new, in 2013, Tesla Model S. And at that moment, the spell was cast. He could think of nothing else. Bought a Leaf, then he bought a Tesla. Simple, simply the idea of having a vehicle that I could fuel myself and not depend on anyone else or worry about the changing market. And that's what I love as well. I absolutely adore being in control of how, where, and when I fuel my car. And it's not, like an ideological sticking it to the man kind of thing. I'm not about to move into the countryside and become one of those survivalists and try and cut myself off from the world. But I like it. And then, the more I thought about it, I'm like, with petrol and diesel, you are at the mercy of really a handful of people and companies in the world and the decisions that they make for their own benefit and interest, and everything trickles down from that. And I was like, I like being out of that. I like being out of their grasp. I like filling up at home. Okay, I still have electricity bills to pay, but largely people fix their electricity. I don't know if it's the same for you, but here in this country, people are often on a 12-month fix with their home energy. So, like, I know what my fuel bill can be. Now, I am a different case because I'm on a half-hourly tariff, so my electricity is often very cheap in the middle of the night, but very expensive at 4 till 7 p.m. in the afternoon. It changes every day. It reflects the grid usage, and I love that because I can change my behavior. So if I see that electricity is going to be expensive tomorrow, I can change my behavior. I think, well, I won't charge the car today because I can see tomorrow it's not as windy, not as sunny, so there's not as much cheap electricity around. And so I like it because it's a way of nudging me to be a better electricity consumer. Hey, that's just me. Time for a new question of the week. Your bit of the show, read out on Sunday. And try this one on for size. What do you want to be able to do, or what do you want to do with your car from a mobile app or a web dashboard? What are the basics, right? What are the basics that you want to be able to do from your phone, your tablet, your computer to control your car? If anything, maybe it's nothing. Maybe you're like, hey, security, lock it down. I don't want it connected. Or What are the nice to haves? What are the optional things that you'd love to have on an app? And what are the essentials? What are the basics? And I just thought about this because we've had a cold snap here, and the last couple of days I've been up before my wife, and so I've defrosted the car for her whilst looking out of the bedroom window. So I'm like, oh, it's a bad morning. All right, open up my phone, defrost. Great, job done. And she's really appreciated it because she doesn't think about it until gets to the front door. She's like, oh, it's okay, the job is done. But, you know, you go back a few years and she was the one boiling the kettle and throwing boiling water over the windscreen. So, which was, you know, always interesting. Nothing ever went wrong. But I was thinking, you know, crikey, what else would I like in the Renault app? Because the Renault app, it's pretty basic. I don't even use the Renault app because it's got better. It's always been terrible. It's just less terrible now. I use one by it's called Zeddy, Zeddy, for any fellow Zoe owners listening to this podcast. The chap who codes it, and it's a passion project for him, lives in the same town as me. Who knew? Not that shocking, but anyway, he lives in Poole as well. Must get him on the podcast. Not that I can meet him in person, what with COVID, but it's so good. It works on I think, my Mac, my phone. It's just lovely interface. Works really well. Always works. So I use that one. But it is. But again, he's limited by what Renault let him do. So what would you like? Just let me know, and we'll read your answers out next week on Sunday. Well, there are 971 previous shows in the archive, wherever you get your podcasts from. You know what? Sunday, I love to read out the exec producers and above because they're the superheroes of putting this show on the air. And thank you to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs here in the UK. Also, the partners of this show. Now, it's like, it's $50 a month. It's a lot of, I think it's a lot of money, and I really appreciate the support that you give me. David and Lisa Allen. Also, Gareth Hamer. E-Mobility Norway. Check him out at emobilitynorway.com and check out the previous show that Jan was on. Bob Boothby at Millbrook Cottages, an elopement wedding venue. He's got solar, he's got storage, he loves EVs. Hello to Darren McCleskey from De Novo Real Estate. Thank you, my man. Jukka Kukkonen, check out his website, shift2electric.com. Hello to Rajiv Narayan and Ian Sear as well, and all of our exec producers. It's a long list, but I love reading your names out. Alan Robson, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andrew Green, Asir Khalid, Ebyard Fuchstack, Brian Thompson, Bruce, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Christopher Bath, Colin Hennessy and Cam ZV, Craig Coles, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, Dave Jewson, David Finch, David Moore, David Partington, and David Prescott. Don McAllister, screencastsonline.com. Ed Cortine, Eric Hansen, Eru Kyunyi Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, and Gene Rubin, Gilberto Rosado, Jeff Lowe, Henley Wright, Heinrich Lesner, Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, and Jack Oakley. Javier Carmelo Diaz Perez joined us this week. James Storr, Jim Morris, John Schroeder, and John, who's Beardy McBeardface at Kent EVs. What a legend. John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Ken Morris, Kevin Mason, Carl Mann, Lars Dallager, Lawrence DeAllen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, Mark Bossett, Marty Young, Matt Piscioni, Mia Oppelstrup, Michael Pastrani, Michael Winter, Mike Winter, sorry, Mike, bit formal, Michael, Nathan Gore Brown, also Nathaniel Friedman, Neely Roberts from Sussex EVs, Nicholas Miller, Nigel Miles, Ohan Aston, Paul Ridings, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D Roberts from Oxen EVs. Happy birthday, Peter, wasn't it? Recently, I saw in my feed, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raj Badwell, Rene Kumick, Rene Schneider, Richard Lipinski, Bob Hermans, Rob from the RS Thinks EV YouTube channel. Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas J. T.S. Todd Oakes, The Plug Seeker, and his EV YouTube channel, Tim Gutteridge and William Langhorne. Have a wonderful day. Catch you soon. Oh, do remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.